Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm George Malin, a journalist with Quectel, and I'm delighted to welcome our guest, Matt Wickhouse, the founder and CEO of Finite State, the security specialist firm that focuses on managing software supply chain risk for the enterprise. Matt, can you provide an overview of Finite State's background and experience in cybersecurity, particularly in the realm of penetration testing?
Yeah, thanks, George. Thanks for having me on today, and I'm happy to dive into it. Finite State is a company I founded about 6 years ago. We're based in the U.S. and have technical experts all over the country and some folks internationally as well. And we work with primarily large companies that are building connected devices. So all of the products that people think of as connected but don't look like a traditional laptop or smartphone. So all of the Internet of Things devices and operational technology and wireless devices. We look at the supply chain security for all of those products. So we try to understand and work with our customers to understand what software is coming in through their supply chains, what dependencies they have on other vendors and other software, and what risks might be in there. And we automate much of the security testing process for software as it's being built. So as engineers are writing code, as they're building different versions of the software, our platform automates a lot of the security testing of that product that's being built so that the security teams and engineering teams can fix problems before the products go to market. And as part of that, we do primarily automated testing, but we also have a services team that does penetration testing on connected devices where we look at the hardware, we look at the software, we look at the network communications, we look at the end product, we look at the internals, and try to understand what an attacker might do to try to gain control of that device or disable that device or leverage that device for some part of a more complicated attack. And we try to find all of those weaknesses and report them back to the vendor so that they can fix them before it goes to market.
Great, Matt. Thanks very much. Please, could you outline what Quectel as an organization has engaged Finite State to do?
Well, we've been working with Quectel for a while now, and we've been engaged to do all of the things that I just said, to help take Quectel's security program to the best in the industry when it comes to software supply chain security. And that means automated testing at every step of the development process. It means embracing software transparency, which is a new concept I can talk more about, so that they're sharing the security testing results with their customers. So the customers are empowered to manage the security of the products that they're building on top of the Quectel modules. It means that we're doing penetration testing on the modules as well. And so we're looking at this very holistically. We're trying to work with the Quectel team to create a robust security program that provides the highest levels of assurance to everyone in their supply chain downstream that their products are very secure or as secure as possible. And if that security posture were to change, let's say a new vulnerability was published that impacted third-party software that was coming in through Quectel's supply chain, the goal is for Quectel to be able to respond as quickly as possible so their customers can respond as quickly as possible. And so far, the team has worked really diligently to create one of the leading security programs in the IoT industry.
Interesting. So when it comes to penetration testing specifically for Quectel modules, can you explain the significance of that within the IoT business chain? Is it, have I understood it correctly, that the testing that you do with Quectel's modules therefore enables device makers to be assured that that security is in place for that component when they use it in their device? Is it really that idea, to give customers complete comfort that the products have been designed and manufactured in a secure way?
That's right. So take a step back and talk about why we call it software supply chain security and what we mean by software transparency. So over the last decade or so, what has happened in the software industry is, you know, we used to have large teams of engineers who just wrote code. They would sit at a text editor and write code, and they would do it in isolation. And so all of the code was under the control of the company that was building the product. But over the last decade, maybe longer, we've changed our approach to engineering, software engineering, such that software is now composed of components, and most of those components come from third parties. If you think of GitHub, for example, where there is massive amounts of open source software that's hosted, most software engineers are getting code from those open source repositories all the time. When you think about a connected device that's being built, where you may have chips coming from different suppliers, and those chips have firmware on them, and then you have different boards and different modules that are taking hardware and software and putting it together, and then you take that module and you put it into an end product, there are potentially dozens or hundreds of different software suppliers involved in taking that product to market. So what the goal is with software supply chain security is to not only secure the code that your own engineers are writing, but understand the security of all of the code that you're inheriting from your suppliers, which is arguably harder because you're not in direct control of that. So we've as an industry evolved and created a concept called software transparency, where the goal is that every link in that supply chain, suppliers are not only providing the software to their customers, but also providing visibility into the security of the software. And they're doing that on a very frequent basis, so that inevitably, when there is a vulnerability, let's say in an open source repository like Linux, that vulnerability is reported quickly, and everyone who's dependent on that software can manage that risk very, very quickly, respond faster. So the goal of a product security program at a company like Quectel or most other companies, where they're building components and selling them to their customers, is to create as secure of a product as possible and share as much data as possible with their customers so that we can have a very secure and responsive supply chain in place.
Great. That's really strong. I can fully understand the value of that immediately, and you've explained that really well. So are there specific vulnerabilities or weaknesses that you commonly encounter in Quectel modules during penetration testing?
I wouldn't say that there's any particular vulnerabilities or weaknesses that are unique to Quectel. What we see often, I would say that the largest source of vulnerabilities in products in general tends to come from vulnerabilities in third-party and open-source components that are being used. So as an example, if a module needs to implement encryption, for example, in order to do secure communications over a cellular network or over the internet, what is the right thing to do is for the development team to use an open source implementation of, let's say, SSL or TLS, which is an encryption algorithm. And so one of the most common projects for that is called OpenSSL. And while that project has been under development for decades and it's open source, and there have been millions of people who have looked at the code for that project, there still are new vulnerabilities that are found on a regular basis every year. And so those vulnerabilities are reported, and then everyone who's using that project needs to patch those vulnerabilities. And so that's a microcosm of what we see in most connected products, is that a lot of the vulnerabilities are coming from new security issues that are being reported against open source components that they're dependent upon. And probably the hardest part of a really robust product security program for embedded systems is being able to respond quickly to those vulnerabilities when they come out, so that you can fix your product, and then your customers can apply patches so that their products are secure. The challenge in connected devices in the embedded world is that, in contrast to, let's say, cloud software, with cloud software, an update can be pushed out to a repo on GitHub, and the development team can pick it up and implement it and update their cloud in a matter of hours if they really wanted to, maybe a day. With connected devices, you have to think about the fact that you have development teams, maybe at an upstream supplier who are dependent upon the open source component, and then that upstream supplier has to make the fix and then actually create a patch that is available for download that they then send to their customers, and on and on and on and on, all the way to the point that you have to have a fix for the firmware that's in, let's say, an IoT device that might even need to undergo additional certifications because of the changes that have been made before it gets all the way to customers. So the lag time on security fixes in the connected world is much, much higher. So we tend to see more vulnerabilities from third-party components in those sorts of devices than in others. And what's most important is that product security teams are really, really responsive. And what we've seen from Quectel so far is they have the fastest response times of anyone we've seen in the industry to date within their engineering team. So that's an example of the type of vulnerabilities we see often. Other common mistakes we see in connected devices revolve around using hard-coded credentials, improper use of cryptographic primitives, improper configuration of services, but those are the sorts of things we have not seen in most of the Quectel devices we've looked at.
That's great. So could you tell me a bit about the collaboration with Quectel? How do you work with Quectel or similar companies to help enhance the security of their modules?
Yeah, for most companies, including Quectel, we work by integrating our tools into the development process. So every time the software is built and a new version is created, it's automatically scanned, and the results of that scan are provided back to the engineering team to fix. Additionally, the results are put in a repository that can then be made available to customers selectively. And we can create what's called a software bill of materials, which lists out all of those third-party components I was talking about earlier, and makes that consumable by Quectel customers or for other companies, their customers. And we also can create vulnerability exploitability files, VEX documents, which explain which vulnerabilities might apply to that particular product. And all of that is automated. So every time the engineering team builds that software, it's automatically scanned. The results are pushed into the SBOM and VEX and other documents. And then the engineering team can work to fix things and then make the fixes available downstream. So that's usually the first step. In addition to that, with some of our customers, including Quectel, we can instrument the testing earlier in the development process, where we're actually looking at the source code as well. And that allows that a shorter feedback loop for the engineering team, so that they're being alerted earlier if there are potential vulnerabilities. So we do that as well. And then we also work on penetration testing of devices before they go to market. So once we think the device is ready and secure, we will also run a manual penetration test on that module.
Great. So is that quite advanced to be, you know, for a component vendor like Quectel to be adopting this approach to enabling automated penetration testing throughout its development process? Does this stand out for you, or are you seeing more and more component vendors adopting this approach?
I would say it's leading in the industry. We are seeing more that at large, there's more investment in product security today in the entire industry than there was a year ago, than there was, you know, 2 or 3 years before that, which is a good thing. Everyone wants to be able to live in this world with all of these connected devices that are making our lives better. But in order to do that, we have to know that they're secure. But Quectel's been leading the industry in several areas with how widely deployed their automated testing is, how robust it is, how they're testing at many different points in the development process, and really their how they're embracing software transparency with generation of SBOMs and sharing of vulnerability data throughout the supply chain. There are other organizations that are doing that as well, but in the embedded world, in particular in the IoT module world, I think Quectel is at the leading edge.
Cool. I mean, I guess it's a kind of truism that you can never have too much security. So it doesn't really surprise me that people are, you know, the investment's increasing and people are doing these types of activities. What would you sort of set out as some of the best practices that manufacturers and developers should follow to ensure the security of devices that use Quectel modules?
Well, I think, you know, like you said, security is never, there's no such thing as perfect security ever. It's sure. It's always about risk management, and it's always about where you make your investments. And in general, with connected products, you want to design things securely at the outset. So there are secure by design references that organizations can use. For example, if you're building a cellular connected product on top of a Quectel module, there's a set of guidelines from the GSMA that explain how to build a secure product and what sorts of hardware security you should be leveraging and which features in the module you should use to create, for example, secure enclaves and secure boots and how to do code signing and all of those things. There's a lot of upfront, fairly low-hanging fruit that product developers can implement that will create a layered security approach that makes it harder in the case that there is some vulnerability that ever is discovered in the future. It makes it harder for an attacker to do anything against that device. So there are a lot of guidelines and best practices out there for secure architecture, secure design. That's a starting point. The other thing that's really important is security testing. And this is important so that, like I was talking about earlier with software supply chain security, you're testing your software and you're testing the software that you're inheriting in your supply chain. In the case of a Quectel customer, you want to test the software in the module in the configuration that you're using for your device. And that configuration is unique to you. And so you want to automate the testing process, do as much testing as is practical, using platforms like Finite State or other tools for doing software composition analysis, static application security testing, and even dynamic application security testing is important. And then finally, it's not just Quectel who needs to embrace software transparency. It's important for the final product developers to also do that, where they are creating software bills of material and they are reporting vulnerabilities to their customers as well. The market is starting to demand it, and also regulators are requiring it, whether that's the EU with the Cyber Resilience Act or several different industry-specific regulations in the U.S. There's more regulatory drivers in Asia, in Australia, around the world that are requiring more investments in security. And so secure by design, security testing, and software transparency will get you most of the way there.
Fantastic, Matt. That's been really interesting and has certainly updated my understanding of IoT security challenges and how enterprises are overcoming them. It's also really interesting to see how Quectel is at the forefront of some of the new techniques that are being adopted. I'd like to also thank the audience for listening to the podcast. We look forward to welcoming you to another Quectel podcast soon. So goodbye from me.
Thanks so much, George.